Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen. Daf Mem Vav. Today's daf has been dedicated by the Issachar family in memory of Mordechai ben Shemuel. Ruach Hashem, Tanihenu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being learned by Ilu Nishmat Acham Baruch, Rafael ben Miriam, and Avraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem, Tanihem began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Mem He Amud Bet, and we are actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines after they get wide. We're towards really the top of the daf. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav. Halakha ki Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Let's review what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said in yesterday's daf. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said that if a person has a mass of Seor and he designates it for a seat, for sitting purposes, so that is, that machshava alone, that thought to use it for a chair, is mevatelet from its status of seod, and therefore one does not have to get rid of it from his possession on Pesach. So even though it's more than a kezayit, so the Gemara says halakha follows that opinion. Ini, we have a contradiction. Ve'amar Rav Yitzchak bar Asher, Amar Rav. Rav Yitzchak bar Asher said in the name of Rav, regarding one of these masses of Seor that you designated for a chair, im tach paneh habitit, if you smeared, let's say, the top of it with tar in order to make it easily used for sitting, batla, then it is considered nullified, and therefore would be considered not ochel anymore, it's not considered food, therefore would be permissible on Pesach. Ta'in, only if you smeared it with tar, it'll be okay. Lo ta'ach, lo, but if you didn't smear it with the tar, it's not going to be good. And therefore, how could you tell me Rav? You said halakazak Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar himself did not make any chiluk, whether you were tach or lo tach. But you, Rav, yourself, you made a chiluk between tach and lo tach. So it's a stira in Rav himself. Gemara says, man de matneha lo matneha. Well, there are two statements of Rav. The one that had the statement of halakhak and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar did not have the statement of Rav making the chiluk between tach and lo tach. And the one that had the statement between tach and lo tach didn't have the other statement of halakhak and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. There's two statements out there. one of them was said and one of them was not, so to speak, which means the one that heard this didn't hear that, the one that heard that did not hear that. So therefore, both were said, or both statements coexisted. Comes the Gemara and says, Ika de Amri, or we have a different version, Amar of Nachman, Amar Rav, in Halakha Kerabishim on Ben Elazar. According to this version, Rav said, Halakha is not like Kerabishim on Ben Elazar. Why? The Amar of Yitzchak bar Ashe Amar Rav, Im tach paneh habitit batla. Because Rav himself said only in a case where you smeared it with teat, then it is going to be batel. But if you didn't, it is indeed going to be asud, even though you designated it for sitting purposes. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shemuel. Shne hatzae zetim. You have two half zayits of basik, of dough, that are in the cracks of a areva, of a kneading trough. V'chut shel basik b'nehem. And they're being attached by a string of dough. and there's a string of dough that attaches the two hatsi zayits together. So the Gemara says, ro'in, the way you analyze it is, kol she'ilu yinateh lahut, if you pull the string that's connecting them, v'nitalin imo, and the two hatsi zayits are pulled up with it, so then already, hayav, that already is considered one, it'll be considered a kezayit, and in the places where kezayit is not considered good, meaning considered kezayit is considered significant, so it's going to be a problem. Chayav leba'ir, you have to burn it. Ve'im lav, eno chayav leba'ir. But if when you pull that connecting batzik, it doesn't pull up the two chatzizayits, so then they're considered chatzizayit. And therefore, in the place where we said chatzizayit is okay, this would be okay as well. Amar Ula. So Ula said, Lo amaran ela ba'areva. This is only talking about this whole thing that we said, that you don't have to burn two halves of batzik that are in separate places. That's only talking about in an areva, in a kneading trough, because they never can get together. You know, this is in one section, this is in the other section. There's no way that these two halves are going to ever connect. Aval bebayit chayav lebarir. But let's say in the house, you have a half a zayit on the floor in one spot, and half a zayit in the floor in another spot. There we don't say, en tzadik lebayir. There we don't say, well, it's insignificant. Why? Because in the house, the Gemara says, "My tarama dezimnin dechanish lehu v'naflega behadade." Because sometimes you sweep. Dechanish literally means they can become gathered, they become collected. How? When you're sweeping up, now all of a sudden the masses of hametz that are around the house become one, and now it becomes a kezayit. And therefore, you're going to have a problem. Now, it's worth it just to read just one note to explain exactly what we're talking about over here. So he just explains here, مَدْوْرَى Gemara لَلُوْ مَاسْمَا شِئِلْمَلَى حَشَاشْ زَيْ, meaning, if you weren't concerned about the sweeping issue, that you would bring the شْتَيْ حَتْسَيْ كَزَيْتْ together, كَلْ حَتْسِي كَزَيْ بِفْنَعْ عَصْمُوْ لَوْ يَسْرِكْ لِتْبَعِرْ. It sounds like you could have a half a kezayit of hametz in your house, and you don't have to get rid of it. Which means, even though you didn't designate it for a chair or designate it for non-eating purposes, it's possible it was just a kezayit of batzek, which is going to be hametz, then you're allowed to keep it in your house. That goes against what we learned above. For example, when you had a half a zayit on the top of the areva, which doesn't serve any purpose, we said even half a zayit is going to be asur. So seemingly, what's the difference if you have half a zayit on the lip of the areva, which we said you got to get rid of it, because it's not batel to the areva. So if you have half a kezayit on the floor, why should it be mutar? You know, you tell me it's asur because it can become to a kezayit, because you're going to sweep it. But if you didn't sweep it, why should it be mutar in any event? So he says, Mahmat Kushyazu, because of this question, the Rishonim answer that Hatichot Basik Shebebayit, the pieces of dough that are in the house, Domot Lebatsik Shebedofne Areba. It's similar to pieces of dough on the sides of the wall of an areba. Loze shebisfata, not compared to the one at the lip. She'af al picha basik shebisgit karka abayit, enu meshemesh at abayit, mikom akum kishehu pachot mekezayit ubatel legabe abayit. It becomes batel to the floor of the house. and therefore it would be permissible. Why? Because you step on it, and you step on it becomes part of the floor. So the only reason why it is asur is because it can come to a kezayit. Now once it comes to a kezayit, right, that's a shoot of significance. But if it was left to the kezayit in the chameh, in the house, you would just say it's considered floor, it's not considered chameh. So that's a very important plot to understand this deen. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Ula. Ba'u b'ma'araba. They asked the question, the Hachamim of Eretz Israel. Bayit v'aliyah. You have half a kezayit of dough in the house on the first floor, and you have half a kezayit of hametz in the aliyah on the second floor. Mahu, what's the deen? Which did you want to tell me when they're on the same floor, we had a hashash, you're going to sweep, and therefore they're going to become as one. Well, what about when they're on different floors? Which means now it's on different floors. You have to say that when maybe you're going to sweep, the batzik from the top floor is going to fall and land exactly on the hametz that's on the first floor. That's a little far-fetched to say. So do you go so far to say that we're worried about that as well? So the Gemara says, and even if you want to say that you are concerned, I'm sorry, and even if you want to say that that's too far-fetched of a concern, bayit ve'achsadra, let's say you have the house, meaning the first floor we have, let's say half a kezayit of batzek, ve'achsadra. Achsadra, we said, is like the little vestibule that, or the courtyard, it's a little balcony or a stoop that comes in front of the house, a little enclosed area in front of the house. Mao, what's going to be the deen over there? We have one Hatsi Zayit in the house and one Hatsi Zayit in the Aksadra. Because since people go back and forth from the Aksadra to the house and it's on the same level, there's really no walls separating the two. So therefore it might be considered like one big room. And therefore you have to be Hoshesh that what? That the brooming might bring the Kezayit or Hefe Kezayit together with the other Hefe Kezayit. Therefore it's going to be Asur. So the Gemara says, and if you want to tell me that in this case it'll be Asur, what about the following case? Shne Batim. You have two houses. Ze Lifnim Mize. Right, back to back to each other. Because the only way to get to the back house is you have to walk through the front house. And you have a Hifka side in the front, a Hifka side in the back. Now this is a little different because they really don't have too much access, you know, together, one house to the other house. It's not like the achsadra that's in front of the house, that, you know, you're constantly walking back and forth. Here it's two different dwellings. So the question is, when you're going to sweep, let's say, the two rooms or the two houses, maybe you'll say that what? The kezayit is going to become mistaref. Or do you say that it's not similar to the bayit, to the achsadra? Why? Because since the usage of these two rooms are not as common to be used by both people, so therefore it's not considered one room, and therefore we're not choshesh. On these questions, the Gemara says, Tiku. The Gemara leaves all these she'elot in a question. So basically the question over here is, in what cases do you say tziruf? Which means you tell me hatzi kezayit on the first floor in the same room, everybody agrees asud, because of the sweeping issue. Then we gave just other scenarios, the first floor and the second floor, first floor to the achsadra, bayit lifnim and abayit, and therefore the Gemara leaves that in a teku. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, shehakol nehiyah baruch.
Amen.
Harun habanan. Hapat she'apsha. Bread that became spoiled. Which means it became so spoiled that it's not fit for human consumption. But it's not that spoiled. The dog is still able to consume it. So the Gemara says, Metamea tum'at ochlim mekabesa. The inyan, the law of tum'at ochlim, which Rashi understands it to mean, in order for ochlim to have the ability to metameh others, it has to be the size of a kabetza. So therefore, if this bread is the size of a kabetzah, and it has tum'ah, it has the ability to transfer it to other food stuff to make it tameh, even though it's not fit for human consumption, since it's still fit to feed to the dog, it still has a shem ochel, therefore it's subject to the laws of tum'at ochlin. What the shiur of a kabetzah. V'nisrefet ima teme'ah bepesach. Meaning, if let's say this item was terumah, and the terumah became, it's terumah, let's say terumah tehora, okay? Now terumah tehora on Pesach has no usage, so therefore you could burn it with terumah teme'ah on Pesach. Because even though you're bringing tum'ah now to the terumah, when you burn it with terumah teme'ah, what's happening? You're causing the terumah tehora to become tameh, you mosif tum'ah. We said that that's not allowed. But since this is really not ra'ui, nachilat adam, so therefore you have no problem of making it teme'ah. When do you have a problem making terumah teme'ah? When it's edible. It's not edible. And therefore, no problem to burn it on Erev Pesach with terumah teme'ah. It's not considered that you're burning or making terumah tehora teme'ah. So the Gemara says, Mishum Rabbi Natan amru ena metame'ah. Rabbi Natan said, no. This is not considered food, even for tum'at ochlin. And therefore, even if it's the size of a kabetzah, and it becomes tameh, it cannot metameh others. It is not considered ochlin at all. Keman azla haditnan. Who is this following statement in the Mishnah going like? It says in the Mishnah Taharot. Klal amru betaharot. The rabbis made a general principle in Taharot. Kol miyuhad le'ochel adam tameh ad shiyipasel me'le'echol la'kelev, which means anything that's considered ochel, right, that has the status of food, it has the ability to become tameh, and the tum'ah stays on it ad shiyipasel me'le'echol la'kelev, until it becomes not ra'ui, not only for human consumption. It has to be not ra'ui even for the consumption of a dog. So who's that going like? So the Gemara says, Keman delokei Rabbi Natan. Obviously it's not Rabbi Natan. Because Rabbi Natan holds, once it's not fit for human consumption, it loses its status of ochel. Whereas Tana Kama said, no, if it loses its human consumption status, it's still considered ochel until it loses its status of ra'ui la'achilat kelev. So this Mishnah must be not like Rabbi Natan. Tanu Rabbanan. Arevat ha'abdanim. That's the trough, the bowl, that the tanners put their leathers in order to tan the leathers. Now, with the tanning of the leathers, they used to put flour. That was one of the ingredients in order to tan leather. So it's called Arevat Ha'abdanim. Shenatan letochan kemah, that they placed in it flour. Tok shlosha yamim, if you placed it within 3 days of Pesach, hayav leba'ir, which means now already you're going to have to get rid of that mixture. Why? Because it's going to be still considered hametz. Even though you put the leathers in there and you're involved in the tanning process, within 3 days, it still has a status of hametz, and therefore you have to get rid of it. Kodem shlosha yamim. But if you place the flour before 3 days, eno hayav lebayir. Why? Because once it's sitting there for 3 days, it becomes mikulkal. It becomes deteriorated from the smell of the leather and the smell of the keli. It ruins it. So that within 3 days, it's still considered viable hametz. Therefore, you got to burn it. Before 3 days, the Pesach, already it's considered non-hametz. Amar Rabbi Natan. So Rabbi Natan says, Mamed devarim amurim. What is this said? The three-day rule, shelo natan netocha orot. That's talking where you didn't put the skins in. Aval natan netocha orot. But once you put the skins in, afilu tok shlosha en chayav lebaer. Why? Because once you put the skins in, it already ruins the flour from becoming chametz, and therefore even within 3 days it is not considered chametz, so you have to get rid of. Comes the Gemara and says, Abba Rava, halakha kirabinatan. Halakha follows rabinatan. To what extent? Afidu yom echad. Even if you placed it in 1 day before Pesach, vafilu sha'a echad. Even 1 hour. Which means, so long as there was leather being tanned in the trough, so it doesn't matter when you put it in, even right before Pesach, that flour does not become chametz that is going to be asur. The Gemara continues. We said in the Mishnah, V'chen le'inyan tum'ah. Our Mishnah went on and said a law regarding tum'ah. What was the law of the Mishnah? The way we understood it was, if you had a kneading trough that became tameh, so what do we say? And you had, let's say, dough in the cracks. So now you need to dip it in the mikveh. Now we know you're not allowed to have a chatzitza. So we said in the Mishnah, it depends what your attitude towards this dough is. If you're makpid, meaning, if in your mind you don't want that dough there, so therefore it's going to serve as an interference and the tevilah is not going to be a tevilah. If you're not makpid, meaning you don't mind it there, or even if you want it there, then already it's not going to be considered a chatzitza, and therefore you can dip it in the mikveh. That was the basic deen of tum'ah. Right? So the language of the Mishnah was, v'chen le'inyan tum'ah. And so too regarding the law of tum'ah. Im makpid alav chotzetz. If you makpid, it's going to serve as an interference. Well, what if he wants it there in order to clog up, let's say, the holes of the areva? Harehu ka'areva, becomes batel to the areva, therefore you can dip it in the mikveh. So the Gemara says, what's the connection? V'chen sounds like you're comparing. Meaning, what we just said by the laws of Pesach, so too by the laws of tum'ah. Midame. What's the connection? Hatam b'shi'ura tal yamilta. Two different variables. On Pesach, the issue is, what's the size? Is it a kezayit or not a kezayit? Le'inyan tum'ah, the issue is, are you makpid or not makpid? It doesn't go with size. So therefore, what are you telling me? And so too, by the laws of tum'ah. What's the connection between Pesach and an arevah, and the laws of tum'ah and arevah? It's a different variable. By Pesach, what's the variable? How much you have in there? Kezayit, asur, less than a kezayit, mutar. But by v'chein l'inyan tum'ah. What? Kezayit and less than kezayit? No, that's not the issue. The issue was what? Makpid and not makpid. So why does the Mishnah use the word v'chein l'inyan tum'ah? So Amar Rav Yehuda, ema ul'inyan tum'ah enochen. Okay, so read the Mishnah as if the Mishnah is to say, when it says v'chein l'inyan tum'ah, it's like a different... different point. Enochin. It's a different variable. You have to read into the Mishnah like that. So the Gemara says, how could you read into the Mishnah like that? Amar le'abaye, ha v'chen n'inyan tuma'a ketani. V'chen n'inyan tuma'a z'mashma, it's the same deen. And you're coming up with v'chen n'inyan tuma'a, that it's different. That doesn't fit. This is what it means to say. V'chein le'inyan siruf tum'ah bePesach. New case. The v'chein le'inyan tum'ah has got nothing to do with the keli that became tameh, and it's got nothing to do with dipping a keli in the mikveh. It's a new subject of tum'ah. Siruf tum'ah bePesach. Which means, like we just learned, in order for food stuff to transmit tum'ah, it has to be the size of a kabetza. Then it can transmit tum'ah to something else. Correct? Now, we're discussing if, let's say, you have in the areva half a kezayit next to a half a kezayit. It's next to each other. Okay? And now we want to mitzaref, you want to combine the two chatzi kezayits to make a shi'ur of a kabetza in order to you know, be part of the law of tum'at ochlim. So the Gemara says, le'inyan siruf tum'ah bepesach, u'bishar yemot ha'shana ika pelukta, which means, the rest of the days of the year besides Pesach, the way you're going to analyze whether you mitztaref the pieces of dough together is, are you mekpid or are you not mekpid? And we'll see what this means in a moment. The Gemara says, hechi dame, what's the case? Kegon de'ika pachot mekabetza ochlin. Let's say you have a case like this. You have less than a kabetza of ochlin, outside of the areva. The guy's holding less than a kabetza of something, whatever it is. Right? V'nag'u behai batzik. And he touches the batzik that's attached in the areva. Together with the food that you're holding and attaching to the food that's in the areva, now you got to a kabetza. What happened? After you were holding them together, another food now came and was metameh this kabetza combination. Well, since it's the shi'ud of a kabetza, so now it becomes tameh. Now, if that kabetza that became tameh comes in contact with something tahor, it will have the ability to metameh, because the kabetza can now be metameh. So therefore, the anyan siruf, we're going to say that what? Siruf happens, which means it can happen. And the Gemara explains. Bepesach, let's say this happened on Pesach. The isuro hashuv. On Pesach, the isur of chametz is significant. What's the shiur of chametz that's asur? Already, let's say, if it's, let's say, the size of a kezayit, it's not going to be batel to the areva. Which means, even if the Baal is not makpid, doesn't matter. We said, once it's shur of a kezayit, not on the base of it, on the side, let's say, of the areva, shur of a kezayit, even the guy says, I want it there, doesn't matter. Shur of a kezayit on the side of the areva is considered not batel, it's makom chashuv, and therefore, that kezayit is going to be mistaref, because it's considered food. Point being, to be mitztaref, it has to have a din of food. So on Pesach, once it's a shiur of a kezayit, I don't care if you want to leave it there, doesn't matter. It's going to have the din of food, and therefore if you take another kezayit and attach it to it, it's going to be considered sidruf, and therefore the laws of Tumat Ochlin are going to kick in. However, b'shari yemot ha'shana, but the rest of the year, not on Pesach, the b'kepeda talya milta. Then already, it doesn't work with shi'urim. It depends, does the guy want to leave it in the areva or not? Im makpid alav, mistaref, im roseh b'kiyumo, harehu ka'areva. Which means, all year long, it's going to depend on his kavana. If the guy, let's say, has even more than a kezayit, he has it wedged into one of the walls of the areva, and he wants it to stay there. If he wants it to stay there, it becomes part of the areva. Part of the areva, it's not considered ochir. Therefore, there's no din of siruf. If he has a kezayit in there, and he is makpid, then it's considered ochir, and therefore, it's going to be considered subject to the law of siruf. Which means, basically, what the Gemara is saying is as follows. V'chein le'inyan tum'ah means there's going to be a difference in the laws of tziruf on Pesach to the laws of tziruf all year long. On Pesach, that already the significant shi'ud is kezayit, meaning that once you have a kezayit in the sides of the walls of the areva, that's already considered shiur hashuv. Even if the guy wants it there, doesn't matter. Therefore, it's considered ochel. If it's considered ochel, it can be mitztaref with other ochel to get to the shiur of a kabetza. However, that's only on Pesach. But all year long, the variable is what? Makpid and not makpid. Which means, I don't care kezayit or less than a kezayit. All year long, what's going to make it considered food? If you're makpid. makpid to take it off, that means it's not considered areva, it's considered ochel. If you're not makpid, it's going to be considered areva. So therefore, when the Gemara says vechen le'inyan tum'ah, it's a whole story. Vechen le'inyan tum'ah on Pesach, the issue is going to be kezayit and not kezayit for siruf. But bechol yemot hashana, it's makpid and eno makpid. That's the read into that line of the Mishnah. Comes again what it says. Matkif la Rava. Rava says, very nice, but one question. Miketani mitztaref. Does the Mishnah say the word mitztaref? Vehachotzetz ketani. The Mishnah's language is that we're discussing over here, a hatzitza. Does the dough serve as an interference to the keli? It all makes sense what you said, but the Mishnah is not talking about the inyan of siruf. The Mishnah is talking about the inyan of hatzitzot. Elamar Rava, so Rava gives another answer. Vechen lehalot tahara la'areva. Oh, like we understood originally. In order to purify the areva. Hechidame, what's the case? Kegon de itame hach areva. The areva became tameh. And now you want to dip it in the mikveh. BePesach, if it happened on Pesach, the isuro hashuv, where the isur of chametz, once it's a shiur of a kezayit, is considered significant. Chotzet, it's going to be considered a hatita. Meaning, even if the guy is not makpid, he wants to leave it there, doesn't matter. On Pesach, the shiur hashuv is kezayit, it's a hatzitza. Ve'lo salkala tevila, and therefore tevila is not going to work. It's going to be a hatzitza. V'shar yimot hashana v'kepeda talya milta, but the rest of the year it's taluy kepeda. Makpid alav chotzetz. V'im rotze v'kiyumo hareu kareva. Meaning, all year long, it depends if he's makpid or not. If he's makpid, it's a chatzitza. If he's not makpid, it's part of the areva, it's not a chatzitza. On Pesach, when you want to dip it, it's got nothing to do with makpid anymore. Shi'ur chashuv is kezayit, you're out. Less than a kezayit, you're okay. So that's what it means, v'chen le'inyan tum'ah. Meaning, when you're dipping an areva that is tameh on Pesach, it's going to have the same kezayit, less than kezayit variable. But all year long, it's got the makpid and not makpid variable. Comes Gemara and says, good understanding, but only one problem. Matkif lara papa, mi ketani vechen le'anyan tahara, ha le'anyan tum'a ketani. It's not, doesn't say in the Mishnah, vechen le'anyan tahara, making the areva tahor, which means dipping in the mikveh. It says vechen le'anyan tum'ah, which means we're talking about tum'ah, not tahara. So we're not talking about dipping it in the mikveh. So what does this Mishnah mean then? So Gemara says, okay, final answer. Ela amara papa vechen le'anyan lehori tum'ah la'areva. Yeah, we're talking about to make the areva tameh. How? Heki tameh. Kegon denaga sheretz. Sheretz we said is avatum'ah. Sheretz is one of the rodents that the Torah tells us in its death, in its, when it's dead, it conveys tum'ah. So a sheretz touch behai batzek. It touched the batzek, the dough that was attached in the areva. BaPesach the isuro chashuv. On Pesach that we say the isur, even the kezayit, is considered significant. Chotzetz, it's going to be a separation between the sheretz and the keli. Meaning, the avatumah is going to touch the batzek. Kezayit already is considered separate from the areva. Therefore, the kezayit is going to become a rishon. However, a rishon does not have the ability to make tameh kelim. Kelim can only become tameh from avatumah. And therefore, on Pesach, the keli is not going to become tumah if the shi'ur of batzik is going to be a kezayit. Ve'lo nachtala tumah to the keli. But all year long, it's not dependent on shiur, it's dependent on is the guy makpid or not. In makpid alav chotzetz. If the guy's makpid, meaning he wants to get rid of it, I don't care what the size is, then it's hatitza. Meaning, the sheretz will metameh the food stuff, and it will not be able to subsequently metameh the areva. But if he wants to keep it there, so it's considered part of the areva. Therefore, if the sheretz touches the batzek, it's like touching the areva, and the areva will come tameh erishon. So let's understand the Mishnah. V'chen le'anyan tum'ah means v'chen on Pesach to make the areva tameh, it's going to be the same variable. Meaning, if it's a kezayit, since kezayit is shiur hashuv on Pesach, like we were learning, even if you want to leave it there, doesn't matter. Kezayit is hashuv, therefore it's considered separate. Therefore, when the sheretz touches the batzek, it does not convey it to the areva. Less than a kezayit, batel to the areva on Pesach, the areva will become tameh. It's depending on size, just like Pesach. However, just like the law of Hametz, however, all year long, if the guy's makpid, whatever the shi'ud is, it's considered food, and therefore it's not going to transfer to the areva. If he's not makpid, he wants to leave it there, it's considered part of the areva. The sheretz touches it, it's like touching the areva, and it is going to make it tameh. So that's the bottom line interpretation. When you go back to the Mishnah, it is this interpretation of the papa. Okay, then we go to the next Mishnah. Batsek hacheresh, which literally means deaf hametz. What does deaf hametz mean? It's talking about hametz, or dough, I should say, that you don't have a clear indication if it became hametz or not. Just like a deaf person, when you look at him, you see he has ears. So you really can't tell from looking at him, is he deaf or not. So to this hametz, or this batzik, you're looking at it, it doesn't have the telltale signs. The telltale signs is if you start seeing cracks in the dough itself. But you have a suspicion because it started to turn white. So therefore, you don't know, is it hametz or not. So what are you supposed to do in such a case? So it's called batzek hacheresh, the deaf batzek, the deaf dough. Im yesh ka yotze bo shehmitz, hare ze asur. Kabbalah gives the test. If you have another dough that was kneaded at the same time, you look at that dough. Whatever that dough is, you could assume that the first dough is as well. Because since you did it at the same time, you assume that the process is going to take place, you know, at the same time tables. So therefore, if let's say the second one has all the cracks in it and it's hametz, you have to assume the first batzek hayenish is also hametz. If the second one is not, then you can assume the first one is not as well. So that's the litmus test. So Gemara says, im ein shabka yotze bo mahu. That's good if you have another piece of batzek that was needed at the same time, but let's say you don't have. Then how do you deal with this batzek hacheresh? Amar Rav Abu, Amar Rav Mishamon ben Lakish, Kedesh Shielech Adam min Nigdal Lunya leTemeria Mil. So then you judge it from the time that it takes a person to walk from a place called Nigdal Lunya to Temeria. Now how far is that distance? A mil. Now we'll go according to the halakha. A mil lachmir is the shoe that it takes to walk would be a shoe in distance, of course, but we convert it to shoe of time. The shoe of time would be 18 minutes, which means if the chametz, or the dough, was left 18 minutes, then already you have to assume that it became chametz. This is where you get the 18-minute rule from. So Kaz Gemaran says, v'nem amil. Just say amil. What do you have to tell me? The shiur from Migdal Nunya to Temeria, the shiur is a meal, it's a distance. Hakabash Malan, the shiur at the meal, can Migdal Nunya to Temeria. It's giving you the shiur of a meal. But if you want to calculate what, how long is a meal, we're giving you common areas that they knew in those days, the time that it takes to walk from Migdal Nunya to Temeria. Now you know the shiur of a meal. Amar Rabbi Abu, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. לגבל ולתפילה ונטילת ידיים ארבעה מילים. For the following three items, the shi'ud is not one meal, but four meal, which we would explain it to be, let's say, 72 minutes, according to the halakha. What are these three things? A gabal is, let's say, a hired kneader with a K, meaning his job is to knead the dough, being hired now, right? So he gets to the Malabayat's house, and he finds out that the Malabayat's keli is tameh, the trough, the kneading trough. Does the sahir, does the worker have to go now and trouble himself to go dip the trough? So the Gemara says, depends how close the mikveh is. If the mikveh is within 72 minutes away, four meal, he has to go matiyah himself and dip the keli and make the dough mitahara. However, if not, he does not have to. Hachamim did not matriyah him. So make it mitumah. So what? It's not the terumah over here. Secondly, would be the tefillah. A person should pray in Bet Knesset with a minyan, with 10 people. But let's say he's traveling. Now, he gets to the spot where he wants to rest, and there's no minyan over there. So he has to travel at least 72 minutes, right, in order to try to find a place where there is a minyan. More than 72 minutes, he does not have to matriyah himself. Again, this is a shiur of walking, the time that it will take to walk, 72. Where's the v'nitzlat chadayim? Again, a person's on the road, and he wants to have bread. There is no water. So he has to travel 72 minutes in order to find water. More than that, the rabbi did not matriyah himself. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Aibo Amrah. This statement that we have from Mishnah Kish actually came from a rabbi called Aibo. Ve'arba'a Amarba. And he actually said four cases. We only have three. And he said another one. Mehada minayhu, and one of them is ibud, regarding tanning leathers. Ditnan. Because we learned in the Mishnah Chulin. Vechulan, now we're talking about over here the law of a nevelah. What is a nevelah? Nevelah is an animal that, let's say, was not slaughtered properly or died. The Torah tells us a nevelah is metameh. Which part of the nevelah is metameh? The basar, the flesh. The Torah says besara. So the question is, what about the skin? What about the or? So it's going to depend. Sometimes you consider the or as basar. What is that? When it's soft, it's edible. Therefore, if somebody touches the or of a nevelah, when it's soft, it can convey tumah. However, if it becomes hardened and tough, then already it's not considered basar. Therefore, it doesn't convey tumah. So the Gemara says, titnat vechulan, all these soft skins of a nevelah that convey tumah, she'ibdan, what did you do? You started to tan them. Or you started to step on them, which is when you step on the leather, it also is a form of processing it and tanning it and hardening it. Which means you stepped on it to shi'ud, or you tanned it to shi'ud of normal tanning. Tehorin. They become tahor. Why? Because now they're hard. It's not considered basar anymore. Chutz me'or ha'adam. Which means, except for the human flesh always is considered tameh, meaning it's metameh, even if you tanned it or you stepped on it. Vechama kede avoda, what's the shi'ud of tanning skin to take it out of the status of basar? Amar Rabbi Aibo, Amar Rabbi Yanai, kedeilu charba'a mili. The shi'ud is for meal, meaning if you're trampled on it for 72 minutes, that already it's not considered anymore basar. Or you tanned it for 72 minutes, it's not considered anymore basar. So there's four laws that the 72 minute or the four meal law applies. Let's review them. The first law is the gabal. That's the kneader of the dough. How far he has to walk in order to go dip the kneading trough. the law of tefillah, how far you have to go to get a binyan, the law of netilat shadayim, how far you have to go to make netilat shadayim if you want to have bread when you're on the road, and the fourth law that I was teaching us, how long does the leather have to be tanned to be considered not basar of a nevelah, that it does not convey tumat nevelah. So we said also four milim. Amar bi Yosef b'Rabbi Hanina, lo shanu ela lefanav, aval le'acharav, afilu mil eno chozer. So Rabbi Yosef b'Rabbi Hanina tells us a chiddush. That which we said, that you have to go to a minyan for meal, or netilat yadayim for meal, that's only if it's on your way, meaning going forward. Which means if any way you have to travel in that direction, you're going north, let's say, right? So if any way you're traveling north, so you go 72 minutes northbound, then you find a minyan then. However, if you have to travel backwards, then the Gemara says, afilu mil eno chozer. Meaning, you do not return up to more than a meal. Meaning you only would have to go backwards 17 minutes, up to 18 minutes. More than that, you would not have to go back. Hachamim would not matriyah you to go out of your way. But if you're traveling north anyway, so go up to 7 minutes. What's the chiddush? The guy wants to sleep now. He wants to sleep in this town. No. Go to Minyan, keep on going, traveling to go out of your way. Comes the Gemara and says, Ama Ravaha. Gemara says, Umina, from that statement of Rabbi Yosef Hanina, we could say, Mil hu de'enu chozer, that he doesn't have to go backwards a meal. Ha pachot mi mil chozer. But less than a meal, he would have to go back, like we said. And now we go to the next Mishnah. And we continue the next Mishnah. Now, as an introduction to the next Mishnah, we're discussing a case now where a person is baking, for example, matzah on Yom Tov, Pesach. Problem is, the dough that he is baking has become tameh. Now we know there's a halakha that says, when a person is making a certain amount of dough, he has to give a part of it to the kohen. That is called halah. So the question of the Mishnah is going to be, how does a person mafrish halah on Pesach betum'ah? Meaning, in this case, the halah is teme'ah. How can he be mafrish it? Uh-huh. How does he separate it? Well, what's the question? Let him just separate the halah, say harezu halah, and let him bake it, because you can't obviously just leave it there, because it's going to turn into hametz. So bake it, and then give it to the kohen. The problem is, you can't bake it. Why? Because halakha says on Yom Tov, you're only allowed to bake food that you can eat. Otherwise, it's considered not ochel nefesh. And if we have no heter to bake. So the question is, if you're going to bake this halah, well, the Israel can benefit from it, and nor can the Kohen eat it, because it is teme'ah. So now we're really strapped for options. You can't separate the halah in the dough state and leave it because it's going to turn into hametz. You can't take the halah and bake it because such baking is going to be asur. So therefore the question of the Mishnah is going to be, how then on Yom Tov Pesach are you mafrish halah b'tum'ah? So the Mishnah begins, Kesad mafrishim halah b'tum'ah b'yom tov. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Lo tekra la Shem ad shetofeh. Do not call it halah until you bake it. Which means, bake the dough without designating the halah. And therefore, as you're baking it, it's mutar to bake it, because it's edible. And the halah is somewhere in there. And after you finish baking it, now say, harezu halah. So retroactively, that piece over there is the halah, and then you'll give it to the kohen. Okay? Let's read that, Dashi. Kesad. Correct. Kesad mafrishim halah betum'ah. Shenitmet ha'isa. Vishuv en halah nitelet b'mena re'uya la'achilat kohen. right? The challah that you're taking from it is not ra'uy for the consumption of the kohen. Kesed mafrishim ota biyom tov shel Pesach. Hare en yachol le'afota. He cannot bake it. Why? Me'achar she'en ha'ri'uya la'achila. Since it's not edible, this baking is illegal. Ve'lishchota, and to just separate it and not bake it, le'surfa la'erev, and then burn it after Yom Tov, i'efshar she'lo tachmis. Well, it's impossible because it's going to turn into hametz. Now you have hametz in your possession. So that she gives us another option. How about separate it, tarezu challah, and burn it immediately? Because anyway, it's tameh.
Right.
So Rashi says you can't do that because we have a rule. En sorfim kadashim be yom tov. You're not allowed to burn kadashim that became tameh on yom tov. So that's another option that's not available. So therefore, what did he say? Continue Rashi to be the Ezer Omer. Lo tikra la shem challah. Don't call it challah ad shetofeh tehillah, which means bake it first. The akate kol hada vehada hajile, which means when he, let's say he has 10 loaves, for example. Okay? Now he sticks them in the oven. He did not designate challah yet. After he bakes them, he takes one of the loaves, arezu challah, and he'll give it to the kohen. The problem is, retroactively, that loaf that he baked was not allowed to be baked because it's not able to be consumed by anybody. So Rashi deals with this. And Rashi says, we'll read it inside, that since you can take challah from each individual loaf, so you decided to consolidate and take from one loaf. But since you were able to take from a little from each one, so therefore each loaf is considered mutar. Even though you decided to give one full loaf, it does not mean that that loaf was asur. Because you could have taken a little from that loaf as well, that loaf could have been mutar. So therefore, it's permissible in this way. Rashi, ad shetofe techila adakati kol hada v'hada hajale, demafrish mikol hada purta. Because you could separate from each one a little. Ulahar afiya im latsa yafrish halash shenema al kulam. Now after he bakes, if you want to just take one complete loaf for all of them, that's okay. Kedetanya b'gemara. Okay, fine. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Ben Betera Omer, Tatil Betzonen. Ben Betera says, no. Separate the challah in the dough stage. Ah, you're worried it's going to become chametz? No problem. Drop it in cold water. What is the cold water going to do? It's going to cause it not to become chametz. So that's the second opinion. Amar Rabbi Yoshua, Lo Zehu Chametz Shemuzharim Alav, Bebal Yira'e Ubebal Yimaseh. He says that this chametz, take the challah when it's dough and just leave it. It's going to rise and become chametz. So what? You're not over on this chametz. The Torah says, Lo Yira'e Lecha Se'or. This is not yours. Who does this belong to? Kohanim. Now it doesn't belong to any Kohen as well, so they're not over either. Yeah. So therefore this is considered Kodesh. Therefore, the Yoshua says, what's the big problem over here? Separate the challah and leave it there. Don't put it in cold water. You don't have to bake it. Do anything. Just leave it there. Mm-hmm. And as the Gemara continues, the Mishnah continues, Lo zehu chametz shemuzharim alav bebal yireh ubal yimatzeh ela. What do you do? Mafrishta umanihata ad ha'erev. You separate it and just leave it till the evening. And if it becomes chametz, so what? You're not over. There is no problem. Comes the Gemara. Lema betovat hana'a kamepalge. The Gemara now wants to analyze the nature of the machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer's opinion was bake and then designate. Rabbi Yeshua's opinion was designate in the dough state and leave it. So the Gemara wants to understand what they're arguing about. So the Gemara says they're arguing possibly on the subject of Tovat Hana'ah. What is Tovat Hana'ah? Granted, the Israel, can he have any benefit from this challah? Well, it's really not his. It's not his to eat. It's not his to use. It really belongs to the Kohanim. So technically it's really not considered his. However, he does have a certain benefit that's called Tovat Hana'ah. He's able to give it to any Kohen that he wants. That's up to the owner. He decides which Kohen gets it. Furthermore, he can make a deal with a certain Kohen and say, listen, if you give me a certain amount of money, I'll always give you, by Halah, I'll always give you the entitlements. So therefore, there is a certain monetary value to this Halah. Right? That's called Tovat Hana'ah. So the question is going to be, how do you look at Tovat Hana'ah? Is Tovat Hana'ah that money that you're able to technically get from a Kohen in order to secure, or for him to secure his rights to the Halah, does that make you, so to speak, owner? Meaning, does that make this now Halah yours to a certain extent? And therefore, you're not to have Hana'ah from it, because you're getting the money. And therefore, if you hold that Tovat Hana'ah brings like ownership, so therefore, you have a problem. Therefore, we'll say, the Bilya'ezer that says you have to bake it first, he says, Tovat Hana'ah is considered a monetary value, and therefore you have to burn it. However, according to Rabbi Yoshua, he'll say, no, Tovat Hana'ah is nothing. Therefore, you can even let it become Hametz. So let's read that inside. Lema betovat Hana'ah kamepalge. The Rabbi Eliezer Sabar, Tovat Hana'ah Mamon, that Tovat Hana'ah is considered monetary, therefore it's considered as if it's yours, and therefore it's going to be
in your possession,
therefore it's Asur. The Rabbi Yoshua Sabar, Tovat Hana'ah Ena Mamon. And Rabbi Yoshua will say that Tovat Hana'ah is not considered a monetary benefit. Rashi. Tovat Hana'ah Davar Mu'at Tanya Rashai Yisrael Lomar L'Havero. Yisrael can tell his friend, Helach Sela, here's a coin, V'ten Kol Terumatcha L'Ben Biti Kohen. And so Rashi gives you a little different case. Rashi says Yisrael can go to another guy and say, here's a coin, please, my nephew is a Kohen. Please give all your terumot to the Kohen. Okay? V'ayinu tovat hana'ah sheyesh lo Yisrael b'halah zu sherashay letita lekol Kohen sheyirtze. He can give it to any Kohen that he wants. V'litol devar mu'at me'ohavo shel Kohen b'shvil sheyitna lo. But he does have the ability to accept a gift from a friend of the Kohen, but a friend of the Kohen in order to give it to him. So technically there's a value. The Bili Aizir Savar Tovat Hana'ah Mamun. He holds it, that's value. The Hav Yahach Halak Kedideh. And therefore the Halah is considered his. The Habar Halah. And he's going to be over on it. I Mahmitza Gabeh, if it becomes Hametz in his possession. Hilkach Afela. Therefore he has no choice, you have to bake it. Beresha. The Rabbi Yoshua Savar, Tovat Hana'ah Ena Mamon. He says, no, that benefit that you can get from a guy to give it to his friend Kohen, nah. Velav Didehu, it's not considered his. Ve'eno Muzhar Ale, Umishum Pekadon Nami Leka, Dakati Lomatali De Kohen. And it's not considered if you're holding the Kohen's item because you didn't give it to the Kohen yet. So therefore, it doesn't belong to you, it doesn't belong to the Kohen. Therefore, nobody is over the court to be Yoshua. Separate it, let it become Hametz. Gemara says no, that's not the nature of this machloket. Gemara continues. No. The kula alma savar o savre tovat hana'ah ena mamon. I can argue and tell you everybody holds that benefit that you can get does not make you an owner, so to speak, that you have a value in it. So what's the machloket? The argument over here is in the sevara of ho'il. Ho'il literally means since. The Rabbi Eliezer Savar Amninan ho'il. Rabbi Eliezer says, we say the sevara of ho'il, v'iba'e itshal ala mamonehu. Meaning when it comes to halah, it's possible to undo halah. How? You go either to a Beit Din or an expert judge, and you tell him that you want to undo the hala, like Hatarat Nedarim, and the Hakam has the ability to remove the status of hala. Now what happens? It becomes regular food again. Who owns that now? You do. So since it's possible for this hala to become yours, Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to the Shita of Hu'il. Since there's a way that you could go to the rabbi and become yours, it's yours now, even before you do it. The Rabbi Yoshua Samar, Lo Amrinan Hu'il. And Rabbi Yoshua will say, you don't say Hu'il. And therefore, bottom line, right now, it's not yours, and you didn't undo the hala, therefore, you're not over on Bal Yira'eh and Bal Yimatzeh. Let's read Rashi. לא, דקולי עלמא טובת הנאה אין הממון ובהועיל כמפלגה. רבי אליעזר סבר עבר עליהם משום הועיל. You're over. If you're going to let this challah turn into חמץ, you're going to be over. Why? ויבאים מתשאל עלה, because you have the ability to שואל. Meaning go to the rabbi and make a התרה והדרה לטבלה. Now it'll resort to becoming tevil again. What's tevil? Since you didn't give hala now, it goes back to becoming tevil. Who owns the tevil? That she says, vididehi. It goes back to belonging to him. The alkol neder vehegdesh utruma akadosh ba'amirat peh. Anything that's sanctified by verbal, like a case of hala where he says, harezu hala, yachol lishael lehakam. You have the ability to go and uproot it by a hakam, la'akor deburo, and to uproot his word. And she gives you the rule. Hilkach mamore hava. Therefore, it's his because he has the ability to retract. Ve'over ale. Now, that she says, umlechet afiyata name biyom tov, ki lo kara ale Hashem. So what did the Bnei Ezra say to do? Bake it before you designate hala, right? Ve'afagav de'ika hada de'lo hazia. Even though, as we said earlier, one of them that you're baking, that you're going to give to the hala, now is baked illegally because it has no, it's not fit for consumption. Mishtariya. It's still permissible. Dechol hada vehada ika lememar halav halahi. Because you can keep on long and say that each one is not the hala, which means I can keep on pushing it off. This one's not the hala, therefore it's permissible to bake. And then go to this one. No, maybe it was the other one. So since you can always push off which one's the hala, you don't know which one's the hala till after, so therefore they're all technically permissible to bake. The inami kara ale Hashem. Oh, now that she says here, what would be so bad? According to the sevara, let's say you said harezu hala from the beginning, and before it became hametz, you immediately went and put it in the oven. What are you worried about? Wait, what do you mean? You're baking something that's not edible. Wait, we just said a sivra of ho'il. Why don't you say ho'il? And I'll say, since technically you can undo it, so therefore it's really you're baking something that belongs to you. So why did the Bili Ezer necessitate that you don't call it Shem Hala till after the baking? Once your tummy subscribes to ho'il, he can actually call it Hala before the baking and use the sivra of ho'il to say that what? The baking was legal. Because since you could undo it. That's Rashi's question. Let's read that inside. V'ina me kara ale Hashem, matzi lemefa lahoil, v'iba mitchan ala. What? That's the question. Since you could undo it. Miu kevan de'it, that aleph be? De'it le. רבי אליעזר עשה מצרפן לחלה, אחרי שפיר תפה, שתופה תחילה, משום רב חד למלטה, וכל כמה דאפשר למעבד שפיר בלא שום הועיל ניחא למעבד. Which means like this, she's giving you a klal. If you don't have to come on to hoil, we don't, we'd rather you not come on to hoil. Which means, if you have an option, might as well bake it and then call it challah. Mm. Why do you have to go call it challah and then rely on the sevara of hoil? That already, to put yourself in the position where you could have, you know, not come the needed to the sevara of hoil, that's better. So therefore we go back. According to the Bili Ayazid, he subscribes to hoil. And therefore, it's not going to help you to designate the challah, right, beforehand, because what's going to happen? At that point, even though technically he agrees it's not yours, it's not the Kohen's, lo yira'e lecha, technically it should be okay. But since so'il, it can become yours, that's not an option. So then why don't you just tell me, good, say it's challah, and bake it right away and use ho'il. No, what do you have to do that for? You might as well bake it, and then you don't have to come on to ho'il at all. So that's the Bina Ezer. Whereas the Bina Yeshua says, no, I don't go in ho'il. Therefore, take it in the dough stage. Let it become hametz even. Why? It's not yours now. Tala, I ho'il, he doesn't hold on the Sarav ho'il. So that's basically the mahalokh between the Bina Yeshua and the Bina Ezer. Comes the Gemara on a new point regarding the subject of hu'il. Itmar. Ha'ofe miyom tov lehol. A person now is baking from yom tov to the weekday. For example, let's say you have a guy on the last day of yom tov. Okay? So he's baking now food that is not going to be eaten until after yom tov. Let's say he baked it after he ate lunch. So now you know he's not eating any more today. So the only assumption is what? This is for after. So the Gemara says, have a machloket. Rav Chisda amar loke. Rav Chisda says, in such a case, you're going to get malkut. Meaning if you did it b'mezid and you got warned, you're going to, it's like you were over one of the 39 melachot. This type of baking is asur, and therefore you're subject to malkut. Even though ochel nefesh is permissible on Yom Tov, but that's only for Yom Tov. But if you bake on Yom Tov for Chol, that's already Isur. It's a regular Isur of what? Mevashir or Ofeh. Therefore you get Malkut. Rabba Amar Eno Loke. Rabba says no, you don't get Malkut. So the Gemara explains, Rav Chisda Amar Loke Lo Amrinan Ho'il Umekal'ele Orchim Hazile. We don't say that since if guests were to show up at that point, they would be able to eat it. So technically this food that you baked on Yom Tov has a viability to be eaten on Yom Tov if guests would come. Now, Fazda says, bottom line, there's no guests here. You aren't anticipating guests when you baked it. Therefore, it is going to be asur. However, Rabba Amar, enu loke. Why? Amrina no'il. Which means, since if guests would come to his house, they would be able to eat it, and he could give it to them. Therefore, even though he didn't invite guests, and they didn't come to his house, since it's ra'ui in such a situation, he is not going to get malkut. That is the opinion of Rabba. Now, this some of the Mefarshim ask a question over here. Once already you're holding ho'il, why don't you say all the melachot of Shabbat now are out the window? Because you can always cook. Because I can always say, since if there was a choleh sheyesh bo sakana, so therefore this will be permissible, so therefore anytime you cook on Shabbat, you can always say ho'il. So, they answer that כיוון שחולה שיש בו סכנה לא שכיח כלל, אין אומרים מועיל. Meaning it's not prevalent. Guess to show up. But to come along and say now, hoil on a rare case that somebody's going to be in a life and death situation that's permissible, that already is too far. So that's why that sevara does not apply. Now, the question would be, it should be pointed out, even according to the opinion that says you can cook, but you're not going to get malkut. If you went from Yom Tov to Chol, still, as the Gemara Be'etzah teaches, we're going to see now, you would still need, let's say, an Eruv Tavshilin, you would still need a certain Eruv, which we'll discuss in a minute, to allow you to cook on Yom Tov for non-Yom Tov purposes. Even to cook on Yom Tov for a next day, an Eruv is necessary. And we'll see that in the Gemara. Now, comes the Gemara and says, "Amale Rabba Rav Chisda." Rabba tells Rav Chisda, "Ledidach de amart lo amlinan ho'il." According to you, that you don't say the sevara ho'il. Heach ofin mi yom tov le Shabbat. We all know that if Yom Tov is on Friday, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbat. Now, what's the hetir? So, our rabbis tell us in Masechet Beitzah that if you make an Eruv Tavshilin, so that means you set some bread from before the holiday, and you set an egg, so it's considered as if you started cooking from before Yom Tov. However an Eruv works, it's not important to know that now. But if you're holding it's Asur Min HaTorah to cook from Yom Tov to after Yom Tov, so an Eruv should not help. How can a rabbinical enactment come along and help an Isud De'oraita? Which is, if you hold Ho'il, okay, got no problem. Now I understand why I can cook from, because really, I'll tell you, it's there's a way to be mutar. Okay, so once it's really mutar, so you can make an Eruv and it be mutar. But if you say it's... I'm not discussing the reason of Eruv now. No. I'm just telling you that if you hold that, you get Malkut. That means you hold it Isud De'oraita. So if you hold it Isud De'oraita, there's no way you'd be able to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat. If you hold the Sevaravu, it's not Isud De'oraita. If anything, it's a Sudra Banan. A Sudra Banan will material you from Yom Tov to Shabbat. So that's the question that Rabba asked of Chisda. Amar le mishum Eruv Tavshilin. He says, oh, the Eruv Tavshilin takes care of that. Umishum Eruv Tavshilin Sherin Isud Oraita? A rabbinical enactment of Eruv Tavshilin is going to matir Isud Oraita? Amar le, answer him, Mede Oraita, Tzorche Shabbat Na'asim B'Yom Tov. Mede Oraita, you're really allowed to cook and bake from Yom Tov to Shabbat, which means that was never Isur. V'rabbananu degazru be'gezerah. It was the rabbis that made a gezerah. Why? Shem yomru ofin miyom tov af lechol. Because you might come to say, just like you can do it to Shabbat, I can do it to Chol. V'chivan d'aslechu rabbanan eruv tavshilin into hekerah. So once they gave you eruv tavshilin, it's a heker, so you won't come to make that isur. Now, why is it permissible? Min haTorah. Because just like Shabbat is called Shabbat, Yom Tov is called Shabbat. So therefore, when we say you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, for Yom Tov itself, but Yom Tov is Shabbat also. So therefore, just like you can cook for Yom Tov, which is called a Shabbat, and cook to Yom Tov, to Shabbat. Because it's the same name. So therefore, Min haTorah is Mutar. Ah, why is it Asur? Gezerah. Eruv Tavshilin can cover that. Gezerah. So let's just review the machloket between Rabba and Rav Chisda. It's a very important machloket. According to both Rabba and Rav Chisda, ochel nefesh on Yom Tov letzorech Shabbat is permissible min haTorah. Both hold this permissible from the Torah. Hachamim just what was said it. Meaning, you need to make an Eruv Tavshilin, man of Yom Tov. Mm-hmm. So what's the machloket over here? The machloket is the reason of the Torah. Rava says that the reason why it's permissible to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat is because of Ho'il. Mm-hmm. Not because of Yom Tov is called Shabbat. Ho'il. Since guests can come on Friday and eat the food, therefore, Ho'il allows you to do it. Whereas, according to Rav Hasda, it's based on the deen of what? Sorche Shabbat, Na'asim Yom Tov. That's a deen. Now, Nafkamina, big Nafkamina. Let's say you're cooking on Friday Yom Tov right before sunset. At that point, there's no orchim. There's no time for guests to come now. By the time the guests come and sit down, it'll be Shabbat. According to that Sevara, you don't say O'il, because there's no time for the guests to come. It'll be Asur. But if you say that Surche Shabbat can be done on Yom Tov, Mutar is Mutar. Doesn't matter what time you do it, even if you do it at the last minute. So there will be a great Nafkamina, according to the Halakha. Okay. Imara. Etibe. Rabba asks on Rav Chasda, following case. Behema hamsukenet. Okay, you have an animal that is misukin, it's in dire straits, it's going to die. Now, if it dies, it becomes a nevela. So the owner, Tanyum Tov, the owner's concerned if it dies, he's going to lose his animal now. So the Gemara says, lo yishchot ela kedei shiyachol leechol emena kezayit sali bebe'od yom. Which means, the Braita says over here, that you cannot slaughter it on Yom Tov unless there'll be enough time on Yom Tov itself to eat at least a kezayit roasted. But what are we telling you over here? That it's permissible to slaughter it on Yom Tov so long as you can eat part of it. Yachol le'echol afagav de lo ba'ay le'mechal. It doesn't say you actually have to eat it or want to eat it. It just says, Yachol le'echol. This means that's ho'il. Since it's possible for you to eat it on Yom Tov, so therefore you could slaughter it. So he says, Bishtama le'didi da'amni ho'il. According to me that says ho'il, meaning Rabbah says, according to me that says ho'il, it's very good. Ho'il v'iba'el le'mechal matze achil mishum hachi yishchot. But according to you, it doesn't say yo'il. How could you make shaita? Gemara's answer: Amar le mishum efsed mamono. Well, it's loss of money. Because you know, if you're not going to slaughter it, it's going to lose the animal. Gemara mishum efsed mamono sharinin isura deoraita. We will quote you: isura deoraita. Shaita on Yom Tov is asur deoraita. And if you don't say ho'il, it's asur. So how could you? I'm losing money. That's not it there. Amar le'im. Yes. Mishum hefsed mamono gamar bilibo le'echol kezayit. Which means we assume that since the guy is going to lose the money and he knows the only way it's permissible is for him to eat some of it on Yom Tov, you assume that the guy, even though he just ate lunch, he's going to say, I'll eat another kezayit over here. Because I want to... Now, v'yifshar lekezayit basar b'no shechita. You have no choice. In order to eat a kezayit, you have to make shechita on the whole animal. Right? You can't just make cut a kezayit off. So therefore, he agrees. You're not saying go eat over here. The reason why it's permissible is because you assume the guy is going to eat it. And he wants to eat it because he knows that's the only way he'll be able to make shaita. If no, there has to be obviously enough time for him to eat it. But we're assuming over here not only is enough time for him to eat it, he will eat it. Mm-hmm. Even though he just finished his meal. Why? Because he knows that's the only way he's going to save the animal. And since the only way to save the animal is to make shaita to eat a kezayit, so therefore he... And he has to eat it. Oh. Right, he has to eat it. That's exactly what he's saying. Mm-hmm. We'll stop over here. Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen.